Standing firm. We're in the book of 1 Thessalonians. 1 Thessalonians, if you have your pew Bible in front of you, you have your own Bible on your phone. It's upstairs here. It's also in your bulletin. 1 Thessalonians, and we're going all the way to chapter 5. We'll come back later in the series. It's four-week series in 1 Thessalonians. We'll come back and look at some of the other chapters. We'll look at some of those today. Standing firm. Let's take a look. 1 Thessalonians 5, 8 through 11. But since we belong to the day, let us be sober, putting on faith and love as a breastplate, and the hope of salvation as a helmet. For God did not appoint us to suffer wrath, but to receive salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ. He died for us so that whether we are awake or asleep, we may live together with him. Therefore, encourage one another and build each other up, just as in fact you are doing. Let's pray. These believers, Lord, were discouraged because of what was going on around them. Persecution, hardship. Battles, hard things. And you sent your servant Paul to them to encourage them. Lord, I ask that you would encourage us today. In Jesus' name, amen. So 1 and 2 Thessalonians, some of the first letters that Paul wrote to the churches. He had planted this church, and he's writing back to them to encourage them. Maybe he had heard through the grapevine, so to speak, that they were struggling in some way, that they had some hardships, that they were battling things. And so he writes back to them to remember your foundation, remember that you are secure in the faith of the Lord Jesus Christ, and he encourages them. And he also, right at the end of our text here, verse 11, he says, encourage each other. You know, we can't do this thing called faith alone. I mean, you could try, right? You could try, but it's a team sport. I was at a church recently, and they had a phrase, team, and then the name of the church. I thought that was cool. So are we going to coin that from now on here? I don't know. Maybe. We're Team Bethel. What does a team do? A team gathers together, practices together, works on their skills, hones in their talents and the gifts that they've been given for a purpose, a common purpose. When you think about it, we are a team. Paul's writing back to them and saying, you can do this. You're a team. Remember who is your captain. So each week we'll look at a different principle from 1 Thessalonians, standing firm. Here's a little bit about Thessalonica. I could give you a kind of a background as we begin this series of this area, of this city. It was a coastal town, right on the coast, of a major Roman road, Via Ignatia, it was called, the road, the way of the nations. So it was a crucial city in that area. Lots of commerce going through that area. So running eastward from Rome, a seaport, it was also very close to a rich, well-watered coastal plain. These three advantages made Thessalonica the largest, most important commercial and political center in Macedonia. Thessalonica was a cosmopolitan metropolis, similar to Corinth, inhabited by peoples from all over the known world. Barbaric Germanic peoples from the north were living there, bringing with them their pagan religion and culture. Greeks lived there, coming from Achaia to the south and from the islands of the Aegean Sea, in turn bringing their refinement and philosophy. Romans from the west also settled there. They were mostly retired soldiers. They brought their strength of will and wealth and political power. And finally, Jews came in large numbers from the east. Eventually, one-third of the population was Jewish. And they brought with them their ethical monotheistic faith, one God, and their national prejudices. So you can imagine this area was quite diverse. People from all over had converged in this area. And Paul and the believers, the followers of Christ, were asked to start a church in this area amongst all of these different philosophical and political beliefs and pagan cultures that had commenced coming to this area. And so Paul's church has been planted, and now they're discouraged because, does it sound like today? In one sense, that we're surrounded by all by culture and different views and philosophies and different religions and battles and wars that are going on. We need to pray for the Middle East in that area, the peoples of the Middle East, and the conflict that's going on there. We need to pray for our leaders that they would make wise decisions. The gospel is spreading. The Apostle Paul plants a church here. The early church of Jesus Christ is taking root. It's establishing the roots of the gospel, of faith. And because of the power structure and the diversities there in that area, there was a persecution, a segregation of those early Christ followers. They're being persecuted. They had to learn sometimes the hard way that they needed to stand firm in their faith. I mean, they could have given up. Many of them did. But no matter what was going on in them and through them and around them, Jesus is the one that held them together and their faith in Him. Now, I don't know if I could say I've been persecuted. Could you say that you're persecuted for your faith here, living in this area, Grand Forks or in the surrounding area? I don't. Maybe in some ways, maybe at work or at your school, maybe you're ostracized for being a Bible person, you know, or a believer or follower of Christ. Maybe you've made fun of, that kind of thing. I guess you could call that persecution, but nothing like around the world, the persecuted church of Jesus Christ, people losing their lives for the gospel. Part of what Caitlin did was go to the least reached country, one of the least reached countries, and was able to plant the seeds of the gospel in the hearts and minds of people there, people that she ran into at coffee shops in different areas in the marketplace. We sent her again. She arrived in Hawaii on Friday, and she's part of a leadership school for 3 months, and then if they say, well, you can be a leader of a team, then she'll stay for another 3 for the school, the discipleship training school in Hawaii, and then if she's part of that team, then she would go to somewhere in the world, maybe this area of Macedonia again. We don't know. Not sure how the Lord will work in that. But thank you for your support and your prayers for her. Mom and Dad really got to find some things to do now. The house is empty. It's quiet. And we have a little dog, Sammy, but so if you're all needing to play cards or something, invite us over for, you know, whatever, because we're, you know. Paul loved Jesus. And he loved the church. And he's writing to them to persevere. Stand firm. You can do it. We're in this together. We're part of a team. You could call it Team Paul or whatever. Paul wouldn't want that. He went, don't call him. This is all about Jesus. He's the one that will build your church, the church, his church. Here's what Paul says at the opening of his letter. We always thank God. You can hear his heart for his people, for the people in Thessalonica. We always thank God for all of you and continually mention you in our prayers. We remember for before God and Father your work produced by faith, your labor prompted by love, and your endurance inspired by hope in our Lord Jesus Christ. His message to them and to us this morning is Jesus stood firm for you, and so now you can stand firm for him. Jesus loved you. He gave his life for you. He died for you. He rose again for you. He lives for you. He intercedes for you. He stood firm for you. He stood in the gap for you. And now he wants you to stand in the gap for him. Wherever he has placed you. At work. At school. In your neighborhood. In your families. With your friends. You can stand firm for your faith. As he stood firm for you. They needed the encouragement of Christ, and the reminder from Paul is to keep going, keep going, keep on, keep on, keep on in the faith. This is part of why he wrote to them in the first place, to strengthen them, to equip them, to admonish them, to exhort them to keep going. You can keep going because he kept going for you. In another letter to Timothy, he says this, Timothy, my brother in the faith, my protege. Timothy was younger. And Timothy had times of wandering, and he pulls him back, and Paul says to him, Timothy, fight the good fight of the faith. Take hold of the eternal life to which you were called. When you made your good confession in the presence of many witnesses, that's you also here today. Take hold of your faith, the faith that you confess. Don't give up. Keep fighting for the faith. Take hold of the life that God has given you. You were called to faith by God and in and through Jesus Christ. Now stand firm. Wherever he has placed you, stand firm in your faith. You're grounded in him. Paul writes this from the book of Romans. For everything that was written in the past was written to teach us, so that through the endurance taught in the scriptures and the encouragement that they provide, we might have hope. May the God who gives endurance and encouragement give you the same attitude of mind toward each other that Christ Jesus had, so that with one mind and one voice you may glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. The Word encourages us. Jesus himself encourages us. Our faith encourages us. Each other, we encourage one another in our faith. We turn, encourage each other in our walk and our stand for faith. Paul says, encourage one another and build each other up, just as in fact you are doing. So it was going on. Paul witnessed the church. He saw what was going on. He saw their faith. It was an active faith. It wasn't a passive faith. And he noticed, he said, I see what you're doing. You're building each other up. You're encouraging one another. Keep doing it. Keep going. I know it may be tough sometimes. I know there's things going on in your life. There's things going on around you that might be difficult to understand or difficult to go through, but keep going. Stand firm. The word Paul uses here for build here in Thessalonians is the same root word that Jesus uses in Matthew 16:18, if you're familiar with that verse, when he first mentions the word church. Ekklesia is the Greek word for church. Ekklesia. It means the gathered ones. It means the called out ones. It means the bride of Christ. It's his church. Jesus tells Peter, on this rock, I will build my church. It's his church. I will build my church, and the gates of Hades will not prevail or not overcome it. Jesus makes a declaration in Matthew, I'm going to build my church, and Paul picks up that language saying, build each other up, encourage one another. Paul's exhortation to the Thessalonians is to continue the building project. We are called to continue in the work that God has called us to. Whatever and wherever it is, Paul encourages the team, the community, stick together, encourage one another, build each other up as you are doing. And I saw it at the funeral. Liz is out there in the thing, foyer. If you're French, it's foyer. Okay. And somebody comes up and gives her a big hug. That is the family of God being the family of God. That's what he's called us to do, is to love one another. He says, you know what? Your family members, your friends, your neighbors, they're going to know who you are by how you love one another. They're going to know. The work won't be completed until Jesus returns for his church at some point in the future. I don't know when that's going to be. And if somebody tells you when that's going to be, run. Because Jesus himself said only the Father knows when he's coming back. So the work, the building project that we're under or in, it's not complete. It continues until he comes back or we go. There was a fellow umpire. Did I share this? I can't remember. I shared it at the funeral. Did I share it? He was talking to me about, we had just lost two umpires. They passed away this past week. And he said, you know, my dad used to ask me a question. He said, who's the first person you're going to see when you die? Who's the first person that you will see when you die? Does the Bible tell us, really? We have some glimpses of maybe. Like, is it an angel? Is it God? Is it Jesus? Is it the Holy Spirit that comes? Is it a friend, a family member that went on before us? We don't know. Here's the glimpse. The disciples know that Jesus is going to go back to heaven. He's going to die soon on that cross. They don't completely understand it. But Jesus knows this, and he says to them, guys, don't be afraid. Trust in God. Trust in me. I go to prepare a place for you. If it were not so, I would have told you. And when I go, I will come back to get you, to bring you to the place where I am. Did you hear it? It might be Jesus himself. And what do we do in the meantime? Stand firm. The Bible says, watch and pray, and live out your life for Jesus. That's what we do. Here's another way to stand firm. Ephesians chapter 6, Paul says this, we'll close with this. Finally, brothers and sisters, finally, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on the full armor of God, so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes, for our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Therefore, put on the full armor of God, so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground. And after you've done everything, stand. That's what his message was to the church in Thessalonica. They were struggling, and they're going through things, hardships and battles and troubles. And Paul says, remember who is your captain. It's the Lord Jesus himself. Stand firm in your faith because of him. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, that we can stand firm in our faith because of you. Thank you that our foundation is built on Jesus Christ and him alone. Thank you that we, Even though things are going on in our lives, things that battles that we're battling, and we know that the battle belongs to you. Our battle's not against flesh and blood, but it is against those principalities of evil. God, would you protect our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus against all of that? And may we be able to live our lives here and point others to you. In Jesus' name, amen.